I'm not sure if it's going to be in California, being that I'm in Oregon now, but it is good to be back, and it's good to be back at really our home church. I love it here. Love coming back and seeing all of the familiar faces, see some new faces. It's been, almost 2 years, I think, since we were here. Cody's grown a little bit. Jackson's grown a little bit, and we're glad to be here. Francie was unable to make the trip this time. She's just needed to get some rest herself, so we took this as an opportunity to have some mom time away from the family. How many moms could relate to that? Yeah. Okay, so we're just thrilled to be here. One of the things that we've been doing up there with our ministry, we've been taking care of Jace a little bit. So, yeah, I heard Dave's ICU comment back there, and I thought, Jace isn't here. Come on. But then, you know, I get the same thing from Jace when he's there, so it's a lot of fun. We have a great time with him. It's been awesome having him there. And it's just been fun. It's been fun partnering with you in ministry. I don't know how many of you know, but we went through a process at our church where we had invited another church to share our building because we don't have a Sunday night service. And they came in and they said, well, we have all these wonderful chairs and you have those icky pews, so let's use our chairs. I said, sure, that'd be great. Let's use your chairs. Well, a few months later, they left, and my icky pews got ruined, and so I needed chairs. And it was really a matter of 2 weeks that it took for us to raise the money and get chairs for our sanctuary, which are very similar to yours, as a matter of fact. And so you guys were a part of that blessing, and I want to say thank you to those of you that made that happen. What a wonderful and rich blessing it is. Lives are being touched because of that. We've had people that have returned that looked around in our sanctuary and said, wow, things are happening here, and they are embracing the Lord again because of that. So sometimes little things like that, it doesn't seem like it matters, but it makes a difference. God's able to use those things. So thank you again for that. We're just so excited. One of the things that you can do, if you have Facebook, how many are on Facebook? You can go to Lively Stone Fellowship on Facebook, and you can look at pictures posted of the chairs and all kinds of stuff, and you know that you are a part of that, and so I really appreciate that. We're just excited what God is doing. Church has been growing, God has been moving, and I am thrilled to be in this day and age, amen? Because we get to see what God is doing in very difficult times. We have a really awesome youth ministry that is going up there. We have a whole youth band. Cody has kind of been the inspiration to get that band started. He started playing guitar at 10 years old, and we started plugging him into different things, and then pretty soon some other musicians said, we need to start a youth band for our youth group, and so we had adults playing with him to give him the opportunity to play, and that was really cool. And because of that, some of the other kids said, well, I want to learn to play bass, and I want to do that, and they've all started playing, and so now we have a youth band that is, I think the oldest member is 16 or 17, and they do an amazing job. Along with that, Cody started a Christian rock band. So if you guys are interested in Christian rock music at all, Charlene heard a little bit of it when she was up there. She said, oh, no. Oh, no. So it's a little different thing, if you will, but they're doing it to give glory to God, and that's exciting to me to see young people using their talents that God has gifted them with to lift up his name. And so I asked Cody if he would do one of his songs that he's written for us here this morning. And he said he won't be so loud. But I'm going to ask him to come up right now and just share a song. And while he's getting ready, I'll just share with you. This song that he wrote is a song that came about because through ministering with our kids, one of the young ladies in our youth group asked us to pray for a friend of hers because she had been cutting. I don't know if that's prevalent down here. I would imagine that it is, because it seems to be everywhere that I go. And so Cody and I, we did some research on the internet and looked it all up and studied it out and tried to put himself in the place of what it must feel like and what people go through. And so a song came out of it that is his most requested song that he does, and it's called These Lines Are For Me. So just listen to the words and let the Lord just speak to your heart.
She walks down the hall, an ordinary girl. No one can see the darkness of her world. What is hidden behind the callous smile? She's learned to keep it covered, at least for a while. Sleeves are needed, they're her best friend, shielding her from heartache and all that it can. Deep around the edge of everything she needs, but when will it be over? Why does she bleed? These lines are for me.
That song when he was 12. First song he's ever written. And to just kind of close that story out, the young lady that the song was really written because of, not really written about, because we realize that a lot of people go through that journey. A lot of people struggle with that issue. That young lady came to our youth group, came down and heard that song sung, and it spoke to her heart. She was in foster care, and things didn't go well in her foster care, and she's no longer there. But you know what? I know a seed was planted, and she knows that the lines that were meant for her were laid on somebody's back and not on her wrist. And that's the real message in the song. Those lines were for me. Very powerful message. The first time he sang it at church, one of our ladies in our church, she came up to me and she said, Pastor John, can I share with the youth? I got some stuff I put together after hearing Cody's song. She struggled with self-abuse, cutting and different things as a 40-some-year-old woman. It's not just limited to our young people. You know what, church? There are people hurting out there. And we have the remedy. Praise the Lord. I'm excited this morning. I want to share with you a little bit about what God is trying to do through us for other people. I don't know if you realize this or not, but when you signed up for this thing of what we call being a Christian, you signed up for something more than what you are. It became bigger than yourself. You got connected with the body of Christ to do a great work. I move around a little bit. I might fall off of this if I do. You got me, right? And you got a story about me then, right? So what I want to share with you this morning is that I believe that the church's voice is being silenced, and it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to stand up and become who Christ has called us to be. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus went away so that the Holy Spirit could come to do what? To empower the believer to take this gospel message around the world. Amen. Do we have any missionaries here? Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you all. We're sending a young lady to Turkey. She'll be leaving next month. Maybe the end of this month. Ba-bum. Fancy stuff. She's going to Turkey. How many of you know, what is the Christian population in Turkey like? Does anybody know? 2%? That would be high. It is under 1%. It is a very low number. It is primarily Muslim by nature. In her preparing to go to this nation to share the gospel, she's unable to even say that she's going on a missions trip, because if they find out, they will revoke her visa and won't let her in the country. So she is going into hostile territory. Now, when you do something like that, it's kind of edgy and scary, is it not? It's kind of we talked about fear a little bit in Sunday school, and there's two types of fear, right? The fear that we have of the Lord, which is healthy and good, and the fear that makes us of no avail and no good to anybody, which is chaotic. But the Lord wants us to have a fear that is good and healthy. And in these times, when we're going out in those places, we either know who we are in Christ or we don't go. Amen? I want to suggest to you today that you live in one of those places. Amen. It's a beautiful casino you guys have built here in Blue Lake now. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. It's nice. And I know that it can be a good and positive thing in a lot of ways, but I also know that it can be very unhealthy. Amen? Amen. And it can cause people to go to things and do things that are exact opposite of what God wants. I don't know if I don't like to name sins. There's a lot of people think gambling is a sin. How many of you would agree with that or disagree? Agree? Okay. So what is it that makes that a sin? Covetousness? Wanting something for nothing? God says we're supposed to go out and work for what we get. Amen? There's a principle behind it. Can it be a healthy outlet? For some, I think maybe it can. For some, it cannot. Period. I saw it destroy a family where I live. Absolutely destroyed a family. I'm not here to speak about that in particular. The point I want to make is that we are seeing things rise up that are outside of God's plan for us, and yet the church is being silenced. Amen? You guys are going to have to get with me here. This is going to be a long ride if you're not with me on this one. I'm not saying that I'm not perfect. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now that Pastor Kerry and I have gambled together. Amen? Okay, so I'm just going to admit that. I cleaned him out. Penny Annie Poker. And he's one of those guys that after a while he just goes all in, man. And I'm like, okay, let's go. You know? And I cleaned him out, you know. So I mean, that was a healthy thing. We weren't doing anything that was going to cause anybody to lose a house, a home, or a family. Amen. Yeah. So there's things. I'm not saying you can't have fun, but you got to be careful with the fun that you have. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going on a trip here, and we're going to get our oars in the water because you guys are going to have to row with me, or we're not going to get there. All right? Here we go. So I want to talk a little bit about the remedy for the problem that happens. See, the problem that we have, first off, is that we don't understand we have a problem. That's good. That's good right there. Write that one down, because until we understand we have a problem, we're not going to do anything to try to fix it. In our nation, if you don't realize it, is broken in more ways than one. And the church, again, is being silenced. Not because we want to be, but because we're operating in a different kind of fear. We are not the bold, courageous followers of Christ that we dreamed of being. Is that true? Is that okay for me to say that? I have dreamed of speaking the good news and watching people get saved in parks and in places and in grocery lines, and sharing Jesus to people. But the reality is, I'm buying groceries in grocery lines. Amen? And I'm going to the park, and I'm, you know, watching the kids in the swing sets. And I'm not doing the things that I dream about. See, the one thing that is a freedom for us preachers is we get to get behind the pulpit, and we get to preach the gospel, and we get to enjoy that feeling that we're doing something dangerous for the Lord. Amen? But we're doing that dangerous thing, Pastor Carey, in the safest place we can possibly think of, with all of our brothers and sisters. Amen? You guys love me? All right. He's thinking about that one. So the problem that we have is that we don't know that we even need a remedy. We don't know that we have a problem. We don't realize that there's something that is going wrong in our lives. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was actually, you know, if you flip on the TV, because I think the TV is a good monitor of where we're going at as a people. Because if we turn on the TV and we begin to look at the shows that are out there and what we're watching, and we begin to see what's being promoted through our entertainment. How many of you know that your television is just to entertain you, right? You get some news out of it, and that's a good thing. You get some things. But for the most part, you're watching shows to entertain yourself, to kind of forget your day, kind of let things go. The problem is that our entertainment is now beginning to make us believe things that are outside of God's plan. I don't have to get too specific here, do I? Are we okay with that? Have you ever had to turn your TV off just because you're like, you know what, I just can't take that anymore? You know, because I want to trust in Christ, and I'm finding myself starting to think differently because I'm seeing this message so often now. It's beginning to make me into somebody who I don't want to be. See, that's the thing that we have to begin to look at. See, if we're going to really stand up and make a difference and be the Christian that God called us to be. See, because when you knelt down and you asked Christ in your heart, you probably had some things going on in your life that you needed His help with. Then when you stood up and you stood up as a Christ-filled person, clothed in His righteousness, when you stood up and you began to walk out the door, you stood up and you walked out as a warrior, ready to go out into the battle. The problem is that we never really got into the battle. Is it okay for me to go there with you today? Because see, I think that God wants us to begin to share with the world the remedy. Let me take you to some scriptures. Number one, we need to understand that we are sinners. Amen? How many of you know you're sinners? Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a sinner. It's a good thing. Because the first thing you did is you admitted you need help. Amen? We don't admit we need help, we'll never get it. So that's a good starting point right there. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says this, surely the arm of the Lord is too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. Let me read that again. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear you. See, there's a place that you can go to where you can kind of get yourself out of sync with who God is in your life. See, God wants to work through you and in you and get you to a place. But there's a thing that you can do, which is to continue to entertain your sins and stay in that place, that you never get really back out of it. How many? Now, we touched each other and we said we're sinners, right? We're all in agreement with that? You're all good with that? Because if I'm not a sinner, then I'm never going to make it into being a saint. I have to admit that first off. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. Those mistakes are sin in my life. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that I'm a perpetual sinner. I'm striving to do right. I'm striving to be more like Christ. This is fancy stuff here. Dude, they've got the next verse on there? That would be awesome. Let me take you to another one. Just page on down. I don't know how that works up there. Isaiah 59 and 12 says this, "But our offenses are many in your sight, and our offenses testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities." In that place, when you get to that point, when you can say, "I acknowledge that I need help. I acknowledge that I have iniquities within me. I acknowledge that I've fallen short of the glory of God." Amen? Now, in the world, the problem that we're having with the world right now is that nobody's telling them that they're falling short. We've got to the place where we're all good with everybody right where they're at. Amen, Pastor Kerry? I'm good with that. I love them right where they're at. You know what? I do love them right where they're at, but it doesn't mean I can't tell them that there's help for them to come out from what they're in. I have a guy that I work with, and he's crazy. I'm telling you, he's just crazy. He believes in God, and he believes that God has favorites, and that he's not one of them. And I was talking to him, I found out that he was Jewish. And I thought... So y'all, you guys get that, right? Because if there is a favorite people, it's the Jews. He wants to denounce his heritage. He doesn't even like being Jewish. And I think it goes back to what was said earlier by our Bible teacher. I forgot his name, but he was doing a great job. But because he's envious of the people that are doing well, and he's not doing well, so he can't be God's favorite, so he wants to just denounce it all and move away from it. And so it was really interesting. And so I spend most of my time at work with him trying to show him who God really is and that God really loves him and show him the blessings that are happening in his life so he can begin to embrace that, you know what, God really does care for me. He really is looking after me. And so it's been a great time doing that. But I can see how the world has shaped his view. You know, there's a lot of Christian people out there whose view of who God is has been shaped by the world. It's been shaped by everyday circumstances and things that happen. And I want to just say to you today that there's a better picture that we need to paint of who God is. He is a God of love. But he's also a God that needs to be feared. He's an Abba Father. He's our daddy God. And when mama says, when daddy gets home, you know, there's a certain fear that strikes in us, right? We know we did something wrong. When your daddy gets home, and you know what? We lose that fear in God sometimes, and we begin to operate outside of that. And when we do that, then we don't need the remedy. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says this, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive the praise of God." He will expose the motives of men's hearts. You know, we can be doing the right thing and have the wrong motives. Amen. Because some of us are really good. You know, we know we're supposed to do this, but we really do it reluctantly without the joy of the Lord in our heart. And I'm not saying don't do those things, because sometimes you just got to work it out while you're doing it. Amen. And the offering plate comes by. Sometimes it's the same thing. I want to give. I'm giving because I know I have to. But the joy of the Lord isn't in that gift. So the blessing's not in that gift. So you get the blessing, you got to get the joy. That means you got to go after the joy. Amen? Because the joy just doesn't come just because you did it. The joy becomes because we're after it because of Him and our love that we have for God. So just keep hanging in there and stay with it. Romans 3 and 22 says this, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." So the world has a problem, and it doesn't want to see the remedy. I like the word remedy. I think it was on the Beverly Hillbillies where I first heard it. Yeah, little different remedy there, eh? But you know, what was for Granny, it would take care of her arthritis, right? Rheumatism. The rheumatism. I'm going to lose this thing again, Carrie. All right. There. And so I thought about that because a remedy could be something that is just kind of a temporary fix. You know, and a lot of people turn to temporary fixes right now. We're going to take care of it just for a little while and make me feel good for now. That's why some of us are maybe not as slender as we once were. Maybe that's why some of us do some other things, because we're just looking for a temporary fix for what's ailing us. We can just get over it for a little while. And so, you know, there's that side of it. But see, I think that the remedy that we have in God is much greater than that. Amen? And I thought about it as we were worshiping, I thought, wow, this is part of the remedy right here. You know, we're singing songs, and I know some of you wanted to run the aisles because that's the way you are. But and I know that you're really wanting to just let loose and let God flow through your body, right? And that's part of the remedy. See, you're letting God just manifest in your life through your praise. And you know, the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. So when we are worshiping, He was here. That's awesome and powerful, church. Just think about that. When you're worshiping, you know, sometimes we're thinking, well, we're going to get through the songs, you know, and then we're going to do this, two songs, we're going to do something, we're going to do two songs, we're going to do something else. But you know what? Just erase that from your mind. When I was sitting in here last night as they were practicing, and I was just worshiping. There wasn't anybody in here, Carrie and Adeline, Cody. And they were going over showing Cody some of the songs they do. And I was just worshiping with that. And I thought, wow, this is what I needed today. This is what I needed. Now, that's kind of like a temporary thing, though, right? Because you're not going to worship all the time. Maybe you will. I hope you can. The Bible says to be in prayer without ceasing. You know, so we need to be in constant communion and fellowship with Him. So you know, it can be done. It can be done. I used to get frustrated with your pastor, I'll be honest with you. We'd be playing basketball, and he'd be running down the court, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." I'm like, "Throw me the ball." You know? "Thank you, Jesus." Always first on His heart, on His mind. You guys are really blessed. Ecclesiastes says, "There is none, not a righteous man on the earth who does what is right and never sins." There isn't one. So quit looking for perfection in your brothers and sisters and those that you like to put on the pedestals, the TV evangelists, to the pastors, the Bible teachers, or whoever it is that you look to. They're just as imperfect as you are, and they need your support. One of the things we really try to do where we're at is we try to love each other in spite of ourselves. Amen. Yeah, you've never been frustrated with somebody at church? I'm the only one. Yeah. Love you in spite of yourselves. Got to love ourselves in spite of ourselves. Amen. Galatians 3 and 22 says this, "But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." The whole world is a prisoner of sin. If We, in John 1 and 8 says this. I'm going through scripture really fast. Natalie asked me if I wanted them all up. So I'm going to go through them quick. Got lots of verses. 1 John 1 and 8 says this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I always wanted to be that sinless guy, you know? You laughed like you know me. I always wanted to be that. And then and the harder I tried to be that, the thing that it made me mostly was judgmental of other people. Amen. Because what it is that you can't look at yourself because you will find that fault. You'll see the sin in yourself, so you got to look at other people. And it makes you judgmental of them because as long as you can tear them down, then you don't have to look at your own sin. Verse was brought out this morning. Work it out with fear and trembling. Amen? Your own salvation. That's good stuff right there. That's stuff you could take home. You can take all this stuff home, actually. Let you do that today. It's a special we're running. So as you can see, we definitely need a remedy. We have a problem. The problem is sin. What is sin? Define sin for me. Somebody help me out. Anything against God's judgment? God's plan? Missing the mark, I heard. I like it this way. I like to think of it as a target that I'm aiming for. And the problem is a lot of Christians aren't even aiming at the target anymore. When Cody was young, and Jackson both, they were in Boy Scouts. And in Boy Scouts, we would go to these little retreats, and they'd have these archery ranges set up. And the kids, they loved to shoot the bows and arrows. I guess I shoot the arrows, not the bows. Okay, so they would get there, and they would be given specific instructions. Always point your arrow down the range. And then they would line up, and they would say, okay, fire your arrows. And there would always be one kid like this. And the instructor would just panic, would just go nuts. It was like, no, stop! And I understand that, because when I was a kid, I shot my arrows in the same direction, up in the air. Then I took Cody to a range all by himself. I says, here's the target, shoot your bow all you want. And I look out, and he's back in the bushes looking for his arrows. I'm like, what happened? Well, I just shot it up in the air, Dad. It went way up and missed his mark completely. It's all right. It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch the arrow go up and come down. The problem is we don't know where it's going to come down. See, and that's the problem with us as Christians, is that when we get out there, we're trying to serve the Lord, is that we don't look at our mark. We don't have our target in our sights. And so we're not really sure what we're going to hit, but we're just going to go for it. And you know what? When we do that, we're not being led by the Spirit. We're not operating in the Spirit. We're operating in our own flesh, and there's no way we're going to do well. God wants us to be obedient to Him and to follow Him. So the universal problem is sin, and sin is missing the mark. And the problem is that we need to make sure we at least know we're shooting at a mark. Amen? The world has no idea they're even on the range. They have no idea. She reminded me of a really funny story about a baseball in a head, but that's another story. It wasn't you, though, this time. It wasn't you this time. I'm sorry that you thought it was all about you, Carrie. But we were actually... Do they still have the old-timers baseball game? Andy Merry Days? I was actually down there one time, and I was down there to watch the game. I forget who all was playing, but we were just hanging out, and I watched these people ride up on their bicycles. And they had their helmets on, and somebody hit this foul ball. Bam! It went way up in the air. And it was a lady. She took her helmet off and put it on her bike, and then the ball hit her on the head. This is terrible. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible circumstance to go fully protected, unprotect yourself, and then bam! You know, we do that as Christians. We go fully protected. We clothe ourselves in His righteousness. We put on His armor, right? We're clothed in the armor of light, and we walk out the door, and we take off our helmet of salvation, and we get hit with something. I'm telling you, church, we need to stay prepared. This is not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any easier. Stay prepared. That was a little extra. Let's look at remedy. What is remedy? The definition of remedy is a medicine, application, or treatment that relieves or cures a disease. We talked about it relieving a little bit, but we haven't really talked about it curing. The second definition that it has is it's something that corrects or counteracts. The third part of the definition is it's a legal means to recover a right. So when I look at this thing and I think that we need a remedy for this world, we need to have our rights recovered back to God, or we need to have something that counteracts the things that are coming against us in this world or corrects a wrong. Amen? So when I thought about this, and as the Lord was just speaking to my heart, and I was just kind of going over these different verses and different things, as I was really thinking about what it is to get the people to realize that there's a place for them to go that they can have a true healing in their life. And as Cody was singing that song, that's what that song is about. It's about a remedy that is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's about going to a place that they didn't think they could go. I'm going to share another quick testimony, because this cutting thing really touched me. I was back in Arkansas, which is where I went when I left here. And went back there to do a wedding for one of the young people that was in my youth group back there. And I got to sit down with the pastors and his family. I stayed with them, and his daughter shared with me that she had been cutting. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. I mean, she's in the home of the preacher who loves God with all of his heart. Man, I know him. This guy is like trying to memorize the Bible when I was there. He already memorized like 3 books or something. Crazy. Carrie, are you up to that one? Memorize the whole Bible. He said it's easy. I said, I read it, I write it, and I say it out loud all at the same time. He does that every day. And so I sat and I talked with this young lady. And I realized the hurt and the pain that was in her, and the remedy was right there. The thing she really needed was right there, and she couldn't see it. See, what I'm trying to share with you today is that I know that some of you right here, maybe all of you, know somebody that needs this kind of a healing in their life, that needs the remedy of Jesus Christ, the reality of who He is. See, without Him, we are nothing. With Him, we can do all things. John 9 and 1 has a story about a blind man, and there's a question that was brought up. Who sinned? Mother or his father? And Jesus' reply was, you guys remember? Neither. It was for such a time like this that He could proclaim who He was through this healing in their life. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, this is so cool, because it's a great living example of who Jesus is and what He did. And so I looked at what happened. Remember what Jesus did? Help me out. It's a great Bible story. I know you all know it. So, Jesus did what? He spit on the ground. Remember that? Made a little bit of mud. And He put it in their eyes. I love this story. I've preached on this one, I don't know how many times, because it's so much fun. Because, I mean, who doesn't like to make mud pies and stuff, right? So Jesus makes a little mud. He puts it in the eye and He tells them to do what? Go and wash. I love this stuff. This is good, isn't it, Pastor Carrie? You like this stuff too, right? Because it's so simple. You got mud in your eye, what should you do? If you had mud in your eye, what would you do? Yeah. So God is not telling people something that's so crazy outlandish. See, a lot of people think that when God is speaking to them to do things, it's always some over-the-top, crazy, wacko, wild, and God can do that. I don't want to dismiss that. But most times, it's something really ordinary that just makes you a little uncomfortable. Amen? Like buying that meal for that person in front of you at the restaurant, you know? Or doing something, you know, out of the ordinary. Sometimes it's just some little thing. He's just trying to get us to tweak our lives just enough to make a difference. God's good that way. So we know what happened is that they put mud in his eye, sent him to wash. He washed in the pool of Siloam. And once he washed, then he got in trouble because why? You guys remember the story? God was always messing with him on that Sabbath, man. He's like, Jesus, like, you know what? Let me show you what this is really about. See, relationship would say, let me fix your eye right now. Religion would say, I can't do it today because this isn't the the authorized day to do miracle work. So let me just push that off, and maybe we can get to it tomorrow if you're still around. Amen? It's messed up. And so because it was the Sabbath, the Pharisees got upset, and he basically just told him, say, hey, I don't know, put mud in my eye, told me to wash, that's what I did. And now I can see. Pretty cool deal. Another cool part about it is that people didn't even recognize who he was. Remember that part in there? It's just like they looked at him and said, it kind of looks like him, but I'm not sure that could be him. That's not even possible. You know what? When God does a work in our lives, we're not even going to be recognizable to some people. Amen? They're going to see us in a whole new light. See, that's what the remedy does for us. The remedy is Jesus Christ. Let's just make that really clear, okay? The remedy is Jesus Christ. Let me read to you another verse. Acts 4 and 12 says this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What name is that? That name is Jesus. John 3:16, you guys know this one, quote it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. Now, I'm sharing these verses because I'm trying to shift the responsibility, if I can do that this morning. I want you to acknowledge here this morning, number one, that we're all sinners. The world is lost in sin. We had a prayer request from over here. I couldn't see who it was for somebody they ran into. It was just messed up yesterday. You know, that's awesome. That's the kind of stuff God is looking for us to embrace, the idea that we can pray for people and he'll make a difference. He's looking for us to embrace the idea that we can pray for them and God might speak to our hearts to go to them. We can help make a difference. What I want to do this morning is I want to shift this responsibility over to you, just as God has shifted it to his Son, as his Son was raised up here in this natural life and lived with the same temptations that we all face, except for cable TV and the internet. Amen. I should have got a big amen out of that because you know there was no cable TV or internet back then. But it's the same temptations are within it. And he defeated them all. Amen. And so because of that, when he went away and he came back and he talked to the disciples, remember he breathed on them? And he gave them the authority to bring salvation to people, to forgive sins. Remember that verse? And then he said, I'm going to go away, and I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem, in that upper room. And they went and they waited there. You know, I think one of the problems that we have is that, I'm from a Pentecostal church. I'll be honest with you. And one of the things that happens with the Pentecostal church is we focus on one of those gifts. That gift would be, somebody help me out? Tongues. Now, so I'm a believer in tongues. I'm a believer in tongues and interpretation. I'm a believer in all that. But what I'm a bigger believer in is that he did that to empower us. Not necessarily speaking in tongues, but he sent his Spirit down to empower us to share this message. I'm trusting that I'm speaking to a lot of saved believers here today. Because I know Pastor Kerry does a good job. Amen? And because of that, what I want you to embrace again is the shift of power. The shift of power is now to you. God had it. He would send it down, put it on the prophets. Remember that Old Testament stuff? Then God's Son came down. He took the reins of all that. John the Baptist baptizes him. The Spirit comes down and says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus then walks throughout the life and begins teaching and empowering disciples and getting them ready, sending them out two by two. And they come back. They were doing a good work for him. And then he says, you know what? Wait. And I'm going to send that comforter, that spirit, to come and empower you to continue this gospel work. And you know what? That part right there has been passed on generation to generation to you and I. Until we are standing right here today in Blue Lake, California, knowing that God wants us to do a work for Him. Because you know what? The world's not going to know that they need a remedy until they realize they have a problem. And then they're going to need somebody to bring the remedy to them. And that's your job. Or Pastor Carey's. I guess you could do it all. Did you do it all? No. Okay, so I guess he's going to need some help. I mean, you're ready to help Pastor Carey. Amen? Can't do it all? None of us can do it all. I have lots of notes because I know how much Carey loves Scripture, so I put all kinds of Scripture. I'm just going to skip a whole bunch of it, though, and spare all of you this morning. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Because I'm going to leave you with this. Cody, can you come up and just play some guitar or something? Yeah, it'd be nice. I was really excited one day, and I may have shared this here before. I love this. I was really excited to find God's will for my life in the Scripture. How many of you know what verse that's going to be? Anybody know? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. You have your Bibles, you can get it. You can get your highlighter out and highlight this one. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this: be joyful always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. I get a little upset sometimes with what's going on in our world. I'll be honest with you, it messes with me sometimes. I get a little down on it, and I just have to come back to verses like this. I have to put it in my mind. You know, I have to get my helmet of salvation and put it back on. You know, I got to put the mind of Christ back in, because the world is constantly polluting it and trying to steal that from me. And I have to go back to where I have to meditate on what I know. I have to get into to the gospel messages that we all have, hopefully, in your laps right now. And I have to be reminded that I'm to be joyful always, and I'm to pray continually, and I'm to give thanks in all circumstances. So no matter what's going on around me, no matter what trial, what foot I break, whatever it is, God wants me to find some joy in that. Because the joy of the Lord is my... He wants me to be in touch with Him continually, so I need to be in an attitude of prayer. If you're not constantly in touch with Him, how are you going to constantly hear from Him? And no matter what goes on, give thanks. Because we know that God wants to take whatever that is and work it out for His good and His glory. And we're just vessels here to be used by Him. See, when you asked Jesus into your life, you gave up ownership of this vessel. And I know that most of you knew in that moment you needed to. Because the place you were taking it was no good. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank You right now, Lord, as we've just been sharing from Your Word, God. Lord, that we have the remedy We've got the answers for the things that are troubling in this world, for our loved ones and our friends. God, we know we see them reaching out for temporary fixes. God, we have something that is eternal. Lord, let us not hold it back. Give us a courage and a boldness. Shift us from who we are into who you'd have us to be. Let us clothe ourselves in your righteousness. Let us walk the way you did. With purpose. With a plan. Because we pray continually. We stay in touch always. Listen for you, God, to take us to that new place that we can be used. God, I thank you for that right now, and I praise you for it. God, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there is someone here today. Say, Brother John, I just struggle with serving God. And I want to make him my everything. I want to be able to lay down my flesh, and I want to be able to be clothed in him, and I want to be able to walk in him, and I want to be able to have that kind of a life. But I struggle with that. If that's you, if you just slip your hand up, I want to be able to pray for you. Is there anyone today? Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands that went up. And Lord, I'm just stretching my hands out right now and praying for them. For God, I know that you know where they're at. You know their hearts. You know the motives of their hearts, as the scripture declared today as we read it. Lord, you see deep inside of us, God. And God, you know the hunger that they have for you. And Lord, how they need to be able to pull themselves back and step out of themselves, especially in certain circumstances. God, I see that some people do well, but in their certain circumstances, their flesh rises up. So Lord, I pray right now, even as Paul said, that they would learn to crucify that flesh nature, and that they would be able to rise above that and to operate in you and in your spirit and in your presence. And so God, I thank you for that right now, as they humbly bow themselves to you and your will. Crucify us, Lord, that we will no longer be, but only you. Rise up within us. God, I thank you for that right now. Lord is showing me some battles right now. I mean, you are going to face some battles this week. And I want you to tell Pastor Kerry about it, because you're going to share with him next week the victory that you had, because you went to that place with a new mindset that it's not about me, it's about serving Christ in this circumstance, and I will not fail him now. God, I thank you for that right now, the testimonies that will rise up in Jesus' name. I see it's like an anger issue, something that just rises up in anger. I just rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask right now, God, that you would allow them to feel your peace and your joy and your understanding and your contentment. And Lord, I just rebuke the spirit that would come upon them to cause this anger issue, Lord, for it has been crucified on the cross, Lord. You have defeated it, and it is no longer a part of a Christian mind and a Christian body, for we have been recreated in you. You have given us a new mind. You have washed us and made us holy as you are holy. So God, we just rebuke that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, and we will no longer fall prey to that. But God, you will set us free, and we will be joyful always. We will pray continually, and we will give thanks in all circumstances. And God, I just thank you for that right now. For mightier you. Mightier you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to hearing those testimonies. And if you want to share it with me directly and you have Facebook, look me up. friends with this guy, you can find me on his page. So share that good news. Amen? God is good. Pastor Carrie, thank you so much.